Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk this morning about the upcoming Women's Conference in April. Boy, is there excitement building for it. I hope you will stick around to hear Emily Leadham and Renee Leach talk about the conference. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Don Wolfe with the first and second reading. Father Tim Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. The web that is woven over all nations, he will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priest and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, St. Joseph Catholic Housing recently dedicated new affordable housing units in Brandon. Brandon Heights 2 is the second phase of St. Joseph Catholic Housing apartments in Brandon. Bishop Paul J. Swain was on hand for the ribbon cutting and the blessing of the property. The property is located just north of Risen Savior Catholic Church in Brandon. The new property now brings to more than 1,000 the number of affordable housing units that are part of St. Joseph Catholic Housing. As Bishop Swain has pointed out, there continues to be a great need for affordable housing units in the diocese. You can read and see more about St. Joseph Catholic Housing in the October edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, in a state where the Catholic population hovers at 3%, a Mississippi bishop in a very public way made the community aware that he was consecrating the Diocese of Jackson, Mississippi, to Mary. Bishop Joseph R. Kopasz had led a procession through the streets of downtown Jackson at the end of an afternoon mass at the Cathedral of St. Peter the Apostle, and before the consecration, seminarians carried a statue of Mary as part of the procession, and more than 100 Catholics joined in. The crowd then returned to the cathedral for a litany and the prayer of consecration, written by Deacon Aaron Williams. The act marks two events, the 100th anniversary of the appearance of Our Lady at Fatima and the official liturgical launch of the diocese's pastoral priorities. Bishop Kopasz and his pastoral team have been working for almost 2 years to get the priorities written and introduce them to the parishes. The process included listening sessions in each deanery of that diocese and a year of prayer, reflection, and work with a consultant from Catholic Leadership Institute. For centuries, Catholics in India have drawn support from and expressed their faith through the liturgies, traditions, and spiritualities of three different rites. Pope Francis said it is time that all of them, no matter where they live in the country, have their own bishops. The Vatican announced this week that Pope Francis had created two new eparchies or dioceses for the Syro-Malabar Catholic Church and the extended boundaries of two others. A letter from Pope Francis to all the bishops of India explained the move. In many parts of the world, especially North America and Australia, Catholics of different rites living next door to each other could belong to different dioceses, the dominant Latin rite or one of Catholicism's Eastern churches. But in India, bishops worry that having two or three dioceses covering the same territory would splinter the Catholic community or at least give the Hindu majority the impression that the Catholic community was fragmented. An Environmental Protection Agency decision to roll back an Obama-era regulation to curb carbon dioxide emissions from power plants met with disapproval and pledges to work to keep key components of the plan in place from Catholic organizations. Advocates said that rescinding the Clean Power Plan, President Barack Obama's signature policy to meet U.S. commitments under the Paris Climate Accord to limit global warming, that is, would adversely affect the health of people around the country, especially in low-income communities, and would harm the environment. The concern is that if greenhouse gas emissions are not limited, thousands of people will become sickened or even die from increased air pollution in communities located near coal-fired power plants. Faith-based environmental advocates also expressed apprehension that not cutting power plant emissions would hasten climate change and negatively impact the planet. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Renee Leach and Emily Leadham, who are here to talk about the upcoming Women's Conference, Beautifully Made. We have talked about this once before, and actually, I think it was the two of you that were on the program last July when we were first announcing the program. Well, now here we are in October already, and things are moving along. You've announced some of the speakers. You've announced some of the other aspects of this gathering, and I thought, we got to bring people up to date because there's so many good things happening with this event and so much buzz about it that I'm hearing. And as a guy, if I'm hearing about the buzz, I can't imagine what's going on in women's circles.
Amen. We're back. And yes, there is a growing, you're right, buzz is a perfect word. I feel like
we're so excited.
Yes, yes. And more when we're talking with different people from across the diocese, there's this increase. Are you going to the women's conference? Have you heard about the women's conference? What do you think is going to be at the women's conference? It's just a blast. So buzz is a perfect word.
I want to go back because for listeners that may not have heard our original interview or even for those that have, it's been several months ago. Let's talk about the why. Let's establish the why of this again so that people understand what's going on.
The Women's Conference is themed Beautifully Made, and it's just an opportunity for women to come together to rediscover how important and how beautifully they are made as children of God, beloved daughters of God, and just the opportunity to share with one another across generations and across the diocese, things that we all have in common, things that we all struggle with, and to build networks and communities of faith.
And the whole impetus for the event is really a response to that desire that we started hearing in those women from across generations in different areas of the diocese, seeking that opportunity to come together, seeking to be fed in that way, seeking to be encouraged in a life of virtue and a life of prayer, as busy moms, as working moms, as grandmas, as single women. As single women across the board. And so really that was the impetus. And it continued to knock on Chris Bergwald's door. Actually, Chris Bergwald is the director of adult discipleship and evangelization. And He had been hearing it and had been one of those things that had just been percolating, I think, in his heart. And then the Holy Spirit said, go. And so he responded and brought together a group of women to help him plan it. And
that was a wise move on
his
part.
Yes, I think so too. Yeah.
And the bishop was excited about it. He was all gung-ho too when it was presented to him.
Blessed is he among women.
Yeah.
So it's just been a really, that was really the impetus of it. And as Renee said, that's the why.
Yeah. And obviously it has resonated. I mean, as you have talked about this, as you have gathered a committee together, as you have developed it, as you said, it's got some traction.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's growing and the ideas are coming in and the agenda and the schedule is being formed and the speakers and the all of the ideas, everybody's juices are flowing. The excitement is, you can feel it in the air.
So to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time in this diocese that there has been a conference that has really been exclusively for women. Am I right about that?
That's as far as I know as well.
Yes. Yes. It's the first women's conference ever. We're hoping it's not the last. Yeah. We're hoping that we do this again. But there's such a need for it. There's such a a desire for it to bring women together, just to share our faith and to realize that we're not, the issues that we face in the world today, we're not alone.
I was really struck by both of you mentioning kind of the breadth of this, if you will, the intergenerational, the married, not married. It doesn't really matter. It's the aspect of womanhood that is the unifier here. Am I hearing that right?
I think that's the key to this. I'm blessed to have been part of a women's group in my church. And what has always struck me about that was how much I learned not only from women my own age, but women younger than me and women older than me, and the insight and advice and wisdom that they can share. And at visiting with other women in the diocese, the desire is there. And it takes a village to raise children and build cathedrals, because that's what we're all doing in raising families and being women in this world. And there's joy and there's wisdom that comes from coming together.
And I think even on a theological level, there's a truth in femininity. You know, there's a truth in that there is something about being feminine. There is something about being masculine. And I think this women's conference upholds that truth. It upholds the reality that there is something innate. There's an innate beauty in the feminine. And we want to exalt that. We want to just
acknowledge it,
and exalt
raise it up.
Raise it up. The crown of creation. What did the Lord, you know, what was he doing in that moment?
Do you think that this is a particularly appropriate and really important moment for that message? It kind of feels that way to me.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Especially when we're in such a culture that's confused about what does it mean to be authentically masculine, authentically feminine. It doesn't just mean being strong and macho, or it doesn't just mean being, you know, kind and nurturing. Yeah. It's beyond that. There's an innate truth, I think, is the best word that I can find.
Well, I always think the Creator is you can't outdo the Creator in any way, but I think you can't outdo the Creator in nuance as well, and that's what I think is so beautiful about all of humanity, but particularly women, because there is such nuance among women, and yet all creatures of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
It's what we have in common.
I want to mention, before we go too much further, that there's a great website that people can go to get really the behind the scenes information as it is being shared, as quickly it is being shared, and it really reflects anything we're talking about this morning. So let's make sure people have that.
Absolutely. sfcatholic.org/womensconference. Pretty simple. But that'll take you right to the schedule for the day, the agenda, our speakers that are going to be joining us, what you can expect, all of those things, and then also to register. And you'll notice on there that, you know, I was talking to a woman in Aberdeen when we first announced this, and she said, if registration was open today, I would bring myself and seven of with my friends. And I said, oh, good, because we're going to sell tables. So you'll notice on there that you can bring an entire table of eight. I think that, and it's like $80 a person, or you can just buy an individual ticket as well. And so both of those options are listed on there. But I know there's a lot of women out there that want to bring, you know, their daughters or their friends or their sisters, et cetera.
I'm hearing that people are wanting to make a girls' weekend of it. So they're going to come down on Friday night, and then the conference is all day Saturday, and then they'll stay and overnight and go back on Sunday. So it's going to be a girls' weekend, and lots of plans are being made. Yeah,
I don't think we've even given the date this morning, so we probably ought to do that too.
That would be a good idea.
April 14th, 2018. So what are we, 6 months away?
Yeah, so it's coming.
And it'll be here before we know it.
Okay, let's talk about some of the speakers. The last time you were here, they were still percolating in that stage of things. But now I think a number of your speakers have been announced. I like how you're kind of staging this and sharing it and building the excitement with that.
Yeah, so far we've announced Lisa Cotter will be joining us. Lisa is very, very involved with actually a lot of the college ministry, but she's a wife and a young mom and a very, very holy, devout woman, but just with a great sense of practical humor, living in the everyday, and really her great focus is on femininity and what does it mean to be feminine. And so she really has a beautiful message, like I said, for those women of every age, like we were talking about earlier. So we've announced her already. The other one that we're really excited about is Emily Stimpson. Some people have kind of said, okay, I don't think I'm familiar with her name. Who is that? And we really stumbled upon Emily Stimpson when we were looking for different speaker options. And we watched one of her videos of a presentation that she had done, and we just loved it. She just had this beautiful sense of humor, this really practical, applied knowledge. She got married a little bit later in life, and so kind of talked about that journey of hers. And so I think she'll bring some of that to the table as well. Patience and waiting on God's timing and waiting on the Lord. So we're really excited to have her and just get to know her a little bit better. I don't believe she's ever been to the diocese before. So that'll be an incredible gift. We can't wait for that. And lastly, we would announce Sarah Kroger, who's a praise and worship artist, an outstanding one for that matter, is going to come in and do kind of an evening concert and adoration time with us, praise and worship adoration time with us, which we're really, really excited about. I think it'll just be a beautiful capstone to a wonderful day of being fed, to listen to great music that draws us into that deeper relationship, and especially in that time of adoration and just being able to kind of rest on the heart of Jesus for a little while before we go back to our families and our chaos and our beauty and all of those things.
And there will be opportunities for confession, adoration, little shopping, little chocolate, a little wine.
There's a lot of elements to this.
There is. You know, one of the elements that I think we can talk about that has been really fun, I think, for the committee to start thinking about is after lunch, it's always, as a conference planner, you're like, what the heck do we do?
Yeah. You know, the death hour.
Bit of a downtime.
Yeah. And everybody always kind of, it's not that they want to take a nap, it's just that they don't want to sit. Mm-hmm. And so we've been really brainstorming, what can we do with that time? And so one of the women on our committee said, let's have practical hands-on projects. Women love to create. Women love to use their bodies. Women love to, et cetera. So we've been brainstorming, and we'll invite our listeners, if there's any ideas that you have, we would love to hear them.
Mini workshops after lunch.
A quick little hands-on. You know, we've talked about, what if we could do a little flower arranging session, or what if we could do a little, health and exercise thing, or a little, whatever it might be. There's a couple of, I don't want to give away all of the ideas.
Don't give away all the surprises coming.
You guys and your secrets. I don't know.
We got to keep them,
anticipation,
keep them guessing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. I mean, I think that's a good idea, because it is. You're right. Any conference you go to, the after lunch time is tough.
Mm-hmm. And especially since this will be an all-day conference, we want to, I know I had visited with some young people about, what would bring you to a women's conference, and one comment was, well, if we have to just sit there and listen all day, I'm going to be totally turned off. So we're being real cognizant about offering opportunities to do more than just sit and listen.
One of the reasons we want to talk about this as early as we are and as often as we are, although we haven't done it that often in this program, but one of the reasons is, I want to go back to what you said before, people can buy tables and bring your daughters and bring your, I just think that has such potential for those that maybe aren't as into the faith right
yes.
now as maybe we might desire them to be.
Evangelization at its best.
Huh? Yeah.
Yes. And it's, and one of the things that we're doing is we're going to provide opportunities for an invitation to be given. So if somebody wants to buy these tickets, there will be an invitation that you can receive where you can hand it to somebody and say, I've bought you a ticket to this conference. Mm-hmm. Please come and join me. And I know I've got several people on my list that I'm already working on inviting, getting there.
So I've even thinking as the holiday season, as Christmas time approaches,
yeah. Great
and
idea.
You think about somebody who's lost a spouse, think about somebody who has, and you don't know what to do for them. You don't, mm-hmm. you don't know how to help them through the moment. Maybe this would be a gift that would be some mm-hmm. way to do that.
I think that's an excellent idea. And, you know, I'm always struck working in discipleship and evangelization, the power of a relationship, the power of a friendship. You know, we can promote things on Facebook or on Instagram or on Catholic Views until we're dizzy. But the one invitation that comes from Renee Leach, who knows so-and-so, goes 1,000 times further. And
absolutely.
So, that the power of that personal invitation is such a real thing. You know, I'm involved because I know so-and-so, because I know Chris Bergwald, and because I know that he's passionate about this. So I think in terms of, Christmas gifts or whatever it might be, that's a beautiful idea because that, like I said, that personal invitation goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Well, just an idea, and there's a lot of ideas out there of how to encourage people to participate in this, and I don't know how much encouragement we need. I know registration is already open.
It's open.
I don't know if you're seeing much activity there yet. It is a long way out, but you don't have endless space. So if you want to attend,
that's actually a concern.
You
yeah.
do want to make sure you get your registration in.
Yes.
Am I right?
We are praying very hard for a sold out crowd or a sold out event. So we encourage you to get registered and there is a little bit of conversation happening about how many women will actually show up. And I'm guessing there will be. I'm expecting a sold out crowd.
Yeah.
We're actually working with the convention center where this event is held, trying to figure out, okay, how can we configure the tables to fit the most amount of women in there?
Right. Legally.
So, yes, legally. Yes, exactly.
Where the fire marshal
exactly,
isn't going to get us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And still let everybody get out to go through the lunch line, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been really cognizant of that and wanting to make sure that we can get everybody in there.
Again, this is a single-day event, so it's very doable. If you live in town in Sioux Falls, it's obviously very easy. If you are from out of town, like
girls
what you
suggested,
the girls' weekend, and you know, you hear about that all the time, mm-hmm. That people do that sort of thing, shopping or crafting, whatever it is. But this kind of incorporates all of it, which is in a sense a great opportunity.
It's going to be from 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, and. It'll be a full day of the meals will be on site and a packed schedule and opportunity for mass and
so the weekend mass as well for the Sunday
yes.
mass is part of this.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yep, absolutely. Can we talk about one thing?
Sure.
I know one of the questions that I think probably some of the moms that are listening are. Is there going to be childcare? And that's something that our committee has really talked about. And so. And it was so beautiful because as we were wrestling with it, we said, oh, that would be such a wonderful thing that we could offer. And then one of the women piped up and just said, you know what? This is a retreat for these busy moms. This is a time away. This is time to leave babies with dads or grandpas or whoever. And you and grandma come along. to the conference and really take a day away for yourself. And I think that applies not only to our busy moms, but to anybody across those generations that we were talking about, that we really want this women's conference, though it is going to be a long day, we want it to be so rejuvenating. You know, that's why we're going to have chocolate. That's why we're going to have endless amounts of coffee. That's why we're going to have, you know, all of those things and that community, that time of prayer, that time of quiet, that time of still, that time of a wonderful dinner together with a community of sisters.
A time set apart.
Yes,
just
set apart
for you as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I just wanted to highlight that because I think that's an element that we've really, that the committee has really been moved by and is kind of resting in that beauty of this is a time away.
I'll just say from the man's perspective, I think that's actually a really good idea because dads or grandpas or whoever else don't often get a chance by themselves to deal with the children.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. Having mm-hmm. done that myself, I can tell you, There's benefits to the to everybody.
Mm-hmm. There's blessings
for doing
in
that.
It.
Yeah, there's absolute mm-hmm. blessings in that. Mm-hmm. And then one more thing I want to go back to because I want to make sure people understand how approachable this is. You mentioned your speakers are very practical.
Yes.
I think that's important for people to understand.
Great point.
Yes, this is a holy day in a sense, and there's a lot of good things that are going to come from it, but it's very approachable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
These are people that are they're everyday people. But yet they're speaking on a national level. They have wisdom that they're going to be able to bring to it. Our goal is that you are going to have a takeaway, something for yourself, something for your parish, something for a small group community, that not only are you going to be fed, but there are going to be things that you can take away with you. And it's not going to be stuffy. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, that's a perfect way. It's not going to be stuffy. And I think there's probably some women that are thinking, well, my daughter's not really a strong practicing Catholic, or my sister or whoever it might be. And, you know, I have some of those people in my own life that you kind of feel this nervousness of, oh, this is going to turn them away. This is going to be too much for them. And we're really wanting to be intentional. We're not going to come out right away at the start of the day with a really intense, you know, repent and
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to be an invitation. It's really, I think it's going to be an opportunity for conversion and to just simply show the joy of a faith-filled life. And did we mention we're going to have wine?
We
just
did.
Just in case.
I can't remember if we mentioned
just
that.
Just in case. You might need that.
What's more inviting of that?
Yeah, coffee in the morning, wine at night.
All right. You too. I love it. It's great to hear about the Women's Conference. Again, it's coming up April 14th. Registrations are open. You can find the information you need at sfcatholic.org/Women's Conference. Women's Conference. So you can go right to it, get your registration, or see more about the day. Thanks so much for being with us, Renee Leach and Emily Leadham.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Well, Gene, as we wrap up our time this morning, a couple of things we should probably note. Today is the Public Rosary.
Public Rosary Rally at 3 o'clock, I believe, at McEnany Field outside of O'Gorman High School, if you want to attend. But again, people can take the opportunity to pray the rosary where they are if they're at far-reaching corners of the diocese, because, again, it's a big event for the folks organizing and putting on the Rosary Rally and praying it. But you can have just as much impact praying it where you are.
We should also note, of course, we're still deep into the parish dinner season.
Parish dinner season. People have, there's always a listing in the Bishop's Bulletin, and a lot of times people have told us and given us feedback that they tear it out and put it on their refrigerator so they can get as many,
All right.
get to as many as possible.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.